But if God could ever build up his church and make us the people he has created us and recreated us in Christ to be, it won't mean there is no evil in the culture. It means it won't be able to do everything it plans to do because it's coming up against the kingdom of God and the church of Jesus Christ. It's coming up with God-built levies.
Hello, folks. Tony Evans with The Urban Alternative. I'm excited to come to you today, but this is also a challenging time and a challenging series because you can just look around us and we're kind of involved in the devolution of a nation. Things are falling apart at rapid speed. And unless things turn and turn quickly toward God, collapse is inevitable. So that's why we're doing this series, Turning a Nation to God. And we're going to start off by talking about water in God's house, because it depends on what happens in God's house that will determine what happens everywhere else. Let's get to the Word of God and see what it means to have water in God's house. God has a house. In the Old Testament, that house was called the temple. The temple was the representative abode of the presence of God among his people. Now, no one building can house God. Let me tell you how big God is. God is greater than the sum total of his creation. Now, if you think about that too long, you'll jump out a window. So because we don't want you to jump out a window, don't dwell on that. But God is bigger than the sum total of everything he made, and he made the universe. So just think of God as greater than the universe, which is why it will take all eternity to discover him, because he's just that big. But when he wanted to show his presence in history among his people, he had them build him a house. That's why throughout this passage and throughout scripture, the temple is called God's house. Not because he limits himself there, but that is his specifically designated location for his experiential presence among his people. It's where his concentrated presence would be made manifest to his people. So he had them build him a house. It started with the tabernacle, a roving tent through the wilderness. And then when they got their own homeland, David's son Solomon built God a house. There was a problem. God left the house. The Bible says that the glory of the Lord departed from Israel. So they had the building without the resident. They had the property without the person. Now watch this. When God left the house, even though they still had the building standing, the country of Israel fell apart. When God left his house, the temple, the nation was in trouble. In fact, the book of Ezekiel, written by the prophet Ezekiel, is written to Israel during the time they're under discipline by God in Babylon. God had had to judge them because of their idolatry, because of their rebellion against God, and they are in Babylon. But in the second portion of the book of Ezekiel, he comes with some good news. And the good news is God is coming back home. God's going to return to the house. And beginning in chapter 40, all the way to the end of the book, it is discussing God's return to his house. Now, the reason that that's good news is because when he left the house, not only did the religious element of the nation fall apart, the political fell apart. The social fell apart. Families were disconnected. In other words, there was national calamity when God left the house. But now that God was coming back to the house, the good news is he was going to restore the nation. So in the Old Testament, in the book of Ezekiel, it's about why God left the house and God coming back to the house. In chapter 43, the first five verses, he talks about the return of the glory of the Lord to the temple. That is, the return of God's presence in the midst of his people, because he's coming back to the house. God is coming back home. Well, in the New Testament, God has a house. In fact, the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 22, says that the church of Jesus Christ is the temple of God. What the temple was in the Old Testament to God, the church is in the New Testament to Jesus Christ. God still has a house. In fact, he got a whole bunch of houses. Wherever there is a church that is fulfilling the divine mandate, it's God's house. Now, let's get this straight. You are God's house. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3 that if you've accepted Jesus Christ, God lives in you. So you are a private, personal temple. You're where God lives. He lives in you if you're a Christian. But he's not talking about your private life. He's talking about your collective corporate life when he talks about the church being a temple in Ephesians chapter 3. God has a place he wants to hang out. Yes, he wants to hang out with you, but he also wants to hang out with y'all, with us. He wants to have a collective presence whereby the person of Jesus Christ, the head of the church, I will build my church, the gates of hell will not prevail against it, Matthew 16, 18 says, God has a collective place, watch this, where his personal presence is to be experienced. Here's the point. The purpose of the house is not simply where you come. It is the place where God lives. And as the place where God lives, when you come, he wants you to experience his reality, not just come to his building. Amen. Far too many people come to God's house to be entertained. They want to know what's happening on the screen of the pulpit. What are the lead actors doing? How do the support cast sound? And for 2 hours, they want the experience of having enjoyed themselves. The problem is, when you go to the movie, no matter how good the actor is, you have not gotten to know them. All you see is the performance that they can put on. The purpose of God's house is for you to experience him, not simply show up to see what he can do to make you feel better. When God returned his glory to the temple, his glory to the temple meant he wanted his people to experience his reality. The church in the New Testament is the temple. Here's the key. How things were going to work out in the society, stay with me, would be determined by how things were going on in the temple. How things would be working out there would be determined by what was happening in here. So if God wasn't free to do anything in here, it would never show up out there. If God had to leave the temple, the problem would show up in the streets. If God had to leave the temple, the problems would show up in the culture. Let me put it another way. God's first concern this political season is not what's happening in the White House. God's first concern this political season is what's happening or not happening in the church house. If God can't get the church house right, it doesn't matter who you put in the White House. Because judgment starts in the household of God, and then it moves out into the culture. So God's problem is not that house. God's problem is this house. And if he could ever get his glory in this house, maybe he can let it show up in that house. God's presence wanted to be his manifest reality in the midst of his people. When you come here to experience God. That's why he makes such a big deal of worship. The sermon is not worship. The sermon is a critical piece within worship, but it is not the same as worship. Some people feel like if I miss the singing but catch the sermon, I've been to church. No, you've been the sermon. You haven't been to church unless you've worshiped. And one of the reasons we're not experiencing more rain is God can't get more worship. We feel like if I get a word, I gotta worship. No, if you get a word, you got a word. Worship is what you send up to God, not what you hear from somebody else about God. And so the best way to get a little rain in your life is for God to get a little worship out of your life. What God is simply saying is that the temple, and the temple was beautiful. The temple was ornate. They put a lot in making God's temple. I mean, they spared nothing. But what good was the temple when the glory of God left it? All it was beautiful emptiness. The purpose of the temple was for God's presence to be made manifest so that it would not only change the temple and change God's people, but overflow into the culture. In Ezekiel chapter 47, Ezekiel is being led by an angel through the temple, and he's being led there with a discussion about water. Why water? Because in Scripture, water is tied to life and tied to the work of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 7, speaking about the individual person, it says that there is a well of water in every believer that wants to bubble up and bubble out as your life is being expressed and expanded within you. And John 7 says, and of this he spoke of the Holy Spirit. Even here, in chapter 43, it says that the Spirit came when the glory of God came, bringing life to the temple. So the water refers to the work of the Spirit bringing life. Just why you drink water, it brings life to you. So he's talking about life just as water gives life. And he will say that in this passage. Here's what I want you to notice. I want you to notice how the water flowed. He says, that when he got started, verse 2, the water was trickling from the south side. So we started at the end of verse 2 with a little trickle, drip, 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 drip. He's getting a little, he's just getting a little bit of water. He's getting his pinky toe wet. Okay, he's just got a little bit of water when he gets started, when he gets going. There is just a little bit of water. He's just getting a little. He's getting enough to know that there is water. So the first thing you want to ask the question when you visit the house is there any water at all? Is there any presence of God in this place? Can I just risk this house? Is there enough of God that I'll even get a little wet? Or is all this just fluff? See, because you can come to church and you can feel good with fluff. And it's easy to settle for cotton candy church and cotton candy religion. Just because it made you feel good doesn't mean there was nutrition in what you just ate. You may have ate a lot of nothing that just had a little sugar on it. He said when he saw a trickle coming out, but a trickle coming out means that there's something in there. So he starts out with knowing he has something to work with. So the angel takes him a little bit further. Watch this. Because he responds to the trickle, he can get a little bit more water. Let me tell you the way the New Testament put it in Jesus' words. He says, to him that hath, more will be given. But to him who does not have, that which he has will be taken away. Translation, If you do something with the little God gives you, he'll give you more. But if you don't do anything with the little he gives you, don't bother asking him for more, because if you're wasting his grace at this level, he's not going to let you waste his grace at another level. You've got to respond to what he does give you. Some people say, why won't God give me more? The same reason you don't give your kid $10 worth of allowance if they lose in $1 worth of allowance. Because they haven't been responsible with one, you don't give them 10 times as much to mess up too. So he starts out with a little trickle. He gets his pinky toe wet. But watch this now. It says that he led me. See, the man's moving. He led me, verse 3, through the water. This is a trickle of water. And the water was now reaching his ankles. So he starts out with a little trickle. His toes can touch a little water. Remember, the water is the experience of God's life. The water is life. So he's touched some life. He knows God is in the place. But because he now goes deeper and further, it's now going up to his ankles. In other words, he's getting a higher experience of water. And water is life. So he is experiencing more of the life of God the further he goes in to the sanctuary. But it doesn't end there, because he goes on to say in verse 4, the end of the verse, he led me through the water, and the water was reaching his loins. That is his waist. So let's watch this now. Man has gone from the bottom of his feet, a trickle. He's now gone to his ankle. It's now on his waist. In other words, he's getting deeper into this thing. The further he goes, the deeper he gets. One of the reasons we're not experiencing more of God is we're not going further with him. If there is not a growing relationship with the Holy Spirit, since the job of the Holy Spirit is to bring the life of God and make God's reality experiential in your life, if you're not walking with the Spirit like he was walking with the angel, then you're going to stay on a trickle, if that much. People say, why am I not experiencing more of God? The Holy Spirit says, why are you not moving more with me? It says he led him and he cooperated with the movement. You can't stay still and experience more of God. He says it reached his waist, his loins. Okay? He's not finished yet. Verse 5. Again, he measured 1,000. And it was a river that I could not ford. For the water had risen enough water to swim in, a river that could not be forded. Watch this now. Watch this. My man going swimming. He couldn't walk it anymore. He started walking. He was good. It reached his ankles. He was good. It reached his waist. He was good. But now there was so much God and so much life, he had to go. He had a stroke. Because now it was over his head. See, if you've never experienced God over your head, if you've never experienced what Ephesians 3 says, him doing exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think, if he has not yet blown your mind, if he has not now yet shaken your world, if he has not yet overwhelmed you because you can't walk anymore, the only way you're going to get somewhere is you got to swim there, because his glory has overtaken you, then you and I and we collectively have not seen what God can do. And I don't know about you, but I want to see some more. I want to see some more water. I don't want just my foot wet. I don't want just my ankle wet. I don't just want to see enough God to reach my loins. I want God to overwhelm me so he make me have to swim. That the only way I can go is I got to stroke there, because the glory of his presence has overwhelmed me. Let me put it this way. You come to this house to get a greater experience of God, not to go to the movies. You don't want to know what the show is from the folk on the screen. You want to know what the glory is from the occupant of the house. Because worship is about God as the audience. You're not the audience. He says he had to swim in it. The glory, the presence, the work of the Spirit was so thick. A river that could not be walked over. He says in verse 6, Son of man, you see this? Notice. Verse 8. He says, as it kept flowing, it went toward the sea, being made to flow into the sea, and the waters of the sea became fresh. Watch this now. We started in the sanctuary. We started in the house where God hangs out. The church in the New Testament is the house. It says that the water flowed to the sea, the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is the lowest point on planet Earth. You can't go any lower on Earth and still be on the ground other than the Dead Sea. It's the lowest point on planet Earth. The Dead Sea is, guess what? Dead. The reason they call it the Dead Sea is you can't live in it. Fish can't survive in it. You put a fish in the Dead Sea, it's going to die in just a couple of minutes. Nothing can live in the Dead Sea because of its salt content. When the water flowed out of the sanctuary, it flowed to the sea. Watch this. And when it got to the sea, the water became fresh. He goes on to say, and fish started to swarm in a place where there was no life. The water didn't get better because there was a clean up the water program. I'm going somewhere. The water didn't get better because a committee gathered together and said, how are we going to make something live in this mess? The water got better because there was something happening in the sanctuary that got so big it flowed out of the sanctuary and rolled to where death was located. So I have a question. How can we have all these churches on all these corners with all these members led by all these preachers with all these choirs, all these buildings, all these programs, all this money, and still have all this mess? There's a dead monkey on the line somewhere. You know why the culture is dead? Because there's no water coming out of the sanctuary. He said the Dead Sea lived because of the water flowing out of the sanctuary. Our problem is not that house. Our problem is this house. If God could ever get his folks straight and treat this house like it's his house, it'll make the things better in that house. He's not after a weekly movie thrill. What he wants you to do is see his glory, manifest his presence, be led by his Spirit so he can grow your experience of water in this house. Now, the good news is that God's glory is coming back. That means he will return. He'll come back. He just needs to know he's welcome. You see, God is looking for worshipers, not spectators. The water is flowing now. The water is flowing. The water is making its way to the great sea. And now look at this as we come to a conclusion. They've become fresh. He says in verse 9, it will come about that every living creature which swarms in every place where the river goes will live. And there will be very many fish, for these waters will go and the others became fresh, so that everything will live where the river goes. Guess what the river does? It brings life. It brings life. Now, this passage is ultimately talking about the millennial reign of Jesus Christ when Jesus Christ comes to set up. But what the church is supposed to do is model the kingdom. It's supposed to illustrate this life thing that the Holy Spirit does when he grows in his presence in a community of believers. That's why we want me and us to become a congregation of disciples and disciplers. Disciples and disciple makers. Why? Because we're going to all be swimming. It says that the glory of the Lord manifested itself. The goal of the church is to so infect and affect the members that they infect and affect the culture. God is looking for some folk who he can infiltrate, who he can so fill with himself. See, folks who are swimming with God, folks who are full of his life, those folk, you don't have to beg to talk about Jesus. See, you have to have a program for people who are not swimming. People who are dealing with trickles. Because folk who are dealing with trickles, you got to make them say something. But folk who are swimming, they're going to tell you about Jesus because they know how they learn to swim. They learn where the glory comes from. So they're not ashamed of the gospel. They're not ashamed of association with Jesus Christ. Why? Because when God has been that good, done that much, shown you that much glory, you don't mind talking about your relationship with him and your commitment to Jesus Christ because you've become a disciple of his. You know why our culture is falling apart? Because God's got some levees that don't hold up. So when the culture starts blowing, it not only blows itself down, it blows us down when we're supposed to be the one holding it back. But if God could ever build up his church and make us the people he has created us and recreated us in Christ to be, it won't mean there is no evil in the culture. It means it won't be able to do everything it plans to do because it's coming up against the kingdom of God and the church of Jesus Christ. It's coming up with God-built levies. So there's only one question on the floor. Do you want more? Or are you satisfied with a trickle? Are you satisfied with drip, drip, drip? Are you satisfied with a little ankle worth of God? Or do you just want a little waist worth? Or maybe there's some folk here who want to go swimming.
Well, I hope you see where we're going. I hope you see how it is important for what happens in the temple to determine what happens in society. And we want to get into your hands volume one of Turning a Nation to God, along with our book, Kingdom Citizens. What does it look like when you, as a citizen of the kingdom, impact the society in which you live? Volume one, Turning a Nation to God, and the book Kingdom Citizens for a gift of any amount. Anything you can give to help support us to reach you and to send this message throughout our nation is greatly needed and will be greatly appreciated. God bless you. And thank you for your generosity in helping us as we take a stand for God and for good in a nation that is in decay. Thank you for walking beside us.